Hey everyone, it's your host here, Jake Hirschman. Excited for you to dive into these highlight episodes, whether you're a longtime listener or first-time listener. These are going to be shortened episodes from the past that bring you the best of the best of the content from great guests. Enjoy these and want to take a quick moment to thank our two sponsors, Suju Organic and Screen Skins. Get your 15% off Suju Organic at sujuorganic.com with the code LIFO, L-I-F-O, and visit screenskins.com for 20% off at checkout with the code LIFO24. Get your screen protector today. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. This is the Life in the Front Office Plus, where we dive deeper into personal and professional development, share nuggets and highlights from previous episodes, and bring you new content to provide insights and perspectives beyond the front office. Enjoy today's episode. Brian, you mentioned something earlier where you said, I had been thinking about being an AD for, and you fill in the blank of however many years, right? When you're chasing that goal along the way, do you make it evident to people that you're working with or that, you know, as you mentioned, the mentors that pour into you, that's what you want to do and you got to figure out how to get there? Or when you get to a spot like a deputy AD, which you're one step away from the AD chair at Washington State, you know, how do you not sit back and go, well, am I in line for the next spot? And it might take 5 years or 10 years or whatever it might be. How do you think about that process?
Yeah. I don't know if somebody told me to do this or not, but I've been really transparent with whoever I've worked for, what my career aspirations were. I think the tone of the conversation, though, when I was assistant director of compliance in South Carolina, I said, I want to be an AD. Like that's got a little bit different conversation. It's like, well, focus on what you're doing and we'll try to grow you and expand, but really focus on what you're doing versus when I'm talking to my boss at Rice and my boss at Washington State and say, hey, I want your job one day. Help me get there. Here are the things that I think I need. What do you think I need? What do you think I need to do during this search process? I mean, because you've got the search firms and all the different layers to an AD search, and how do you land one of those? So I think for me, it was always a point for me to tell people what I wanted eventually so I could get a sense of whether they want to help me out with that. And candidly, I've had some job opportunities throughout my career where they were maybe perceived from the outside looking in as a better job or a bigger brand or a better conference. But honestly, I felt like the people in the organization, I didn't feel like they were going to be committed to my growth long-term. And I know for me, when I work somewhere, I pour my all into it. And work-life balance is something I'm still trying to find because I just dive all in. But at the same time, my expectation is return is somebody that's willing to pour into me, especially early in my career along that journey. And so when I was honest with people about that, then I figured out who was willing to do that versus who was just giving me lip service. And so I was fortunate that all the bosses and people I had in my career path really poured into me and said, hey, you want to be an AD? I want to help you out in ways that also help this organization. Let's put a plan together to make that a reality. And certainly Joe Carver at Rice and Pat Chun at Washington State were two huge figures in that growth of giving me opportunities at a really young age, quite frankly. I mean, I talk about how young I am within the FBS. I mean, I was even younger when they gave me opportunities to oversee large groups of staff and run a different initiative. So I've been very blessed in my career, but I've tried to be open and honest about my ambitions. Now, my understanding of what that actually meant and the process that would go into it has changed dramatically since law school and the multiple career stops. And candidly, the role of AD's changed since then in the environment we exist in. So a lot has changed since I first set that as my kind of guiding star, my goal. But I think the further along I go, the more meaningful that goal was and that dream, trying to make it a reality just because of the impact that you can have. I mean, having been a former student athlete myself, recreating that experience for others and improving upon that experience is a goal of mine. And frankly, it's fun. I'm going to get the higher education side, I get the sports side, I get the business side, kind of get to combine all those in one. I think the process to get to an AD chair is very, very hard. And I think as you talk to more ADs, it starts to become really apparent to you that the odds are stacked against you, right? We talk about FBS ADs. I mean, there are only 130 of us, I think. And I had a mentor one time say, hey, put down on a chart all 130. And then which places don't you want to live? Which institutions that probably wouldn't hire you because you're not of a certain faith or background or whatever it may be? Which ones can't you get from the stop that you're at? So as a deputy AD at Toledo, I'm probably not getting the Texas AD job, right? And so once you start striking down that list, that number becomes really small. And then you notice how many people go after these jobs that are equally as talented as you. It's a hard process. I mean, you talk to whether it be Ross Bjork at Texas A&M or Desiree Refrancois at Missouri or others. I mean, they've gone after 7, 8, 9 jobs just to try to get that one. And here they are on the other side of it, being Power 5 AD. So for me, that certainly was a similar process. But what I will say is Toledo was probably the first time that I could be 100% myself and not feel like I was trying to be something that I wasn't. I feel like I fit what they wanted at every turn. And it was an easy conversation for me to have with this opportunity. But the preparation that goes into it, some of it is you, so much of it is who you work for and the mentors that pour into you, try to set you up for those opportunities. That's something I kind of fell into in a weird way, right? I think when I was first coming in the industry and people were like, you need to network. And I didn't really know what that meant, right? And so you'd see young people run up to a speaker at a conference. Oh, hey, that's Andy Dolich. I need to grab his business card. Okay, I'm going to connect with Andy on LinkedIn. And now all the doors are going to be open for me. That's not how it works. And so throughout my career, I started to understand building really authentic relationships with people and finding ways to dig deeper than just, I met you, what can you do for me? What was the key to my success and the key to my ability to be successful? Because I think networking is part, you want to meet people, and certainly if opportunities come from that, great. I've tried to lean more on my network and network for people for knowledge. How can I be better at what I'm doing? How can I hire better? I lean on my network critically when I have openings on my staff to give me names or, hey, Jake's applied for a job here. Andy, what do you know about Jake? And give me the unvarnished truth. I don't want just who Jake listed as his reference. I want what everybody's interaction with him has been to that point. I think that allows you to make better hires too.
Which ultimately and that's not going to show up on a piece of paper resume.
Absolutely. So I've leaned on my network heavily, probably even more so from the doing my job really well and trying to do it the best possible, because I tell people I'm not the smartest person in the world.
Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office Plus. And remember to share with a friend or colleague, leave a review, and tune in to each weekly or monthly episode across our shows.